Is your website pretty? Does it work right? Can people find it? If you answered no or kinda to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast, because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, a man who paid me to not tell you he reads the dictionary in his spare time, but obviously didn't pay me enough. From Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
Welcome to the Mind Your Business podcast. I'm Mark Boyd. On behalf of Mind Development and Design, thank you for tuning into this week's podcast. Really excited to be here with you because we've got some great information to cover this week. I know I say that every week. I sound redundant. I'm a little bit biased. What can I say? What the hell? We're going to talk this week about links because in the past week, Google has received a record number of link removal requests. We'll talk about what that means and what that means to you, most importantly. And also, low-cost and no-cost email marketing. Little unfinished business from last week. We had Jason Hoover, who submitted a question to us about how he could tell when he is at the point in his business where it makes sense to invest in a website. Our internet marketing specialist, Chris Bradley, talked about that last week. However, Chris also wanted to weigh in on email marketing because our focus there was on how do you help somebody who maybe can't afford a website right now? They're doing business, but they can't necessarily afford a website right now. What can they do to help build up their business to where they can afford a website? And we're going to talk a little bit about email marketing and some other ideas that Chris Bradley has to help build your business and get you to that point. You may be in the same shoes that that Jason's in, and we're going to cover that this week. But first things first, links, one of my favorite topics here. I hate links, first of all. Okay, I don't really hate links in and of themselves, but I hate the way so many people use links because so many people who create these link schemes online, they think they're smarter than everybody else. More importantly, they think all of us are too dumb to know what's really going on there. If your business is involved with any kind of a link scheme, if you are paying just for somebody to get links to your site, you really need to reassess what you're doing. The only truly legitimate way to get links to your website anymore is to provide truly legitimate content to other websites. And I want you to think about that for a minute because it requires more effort to do that than it does to merely ask for a link to your site or it does to provide a token of some sort to get a link to your site. More and more and more, Google is trying to refine their algorithm. More and more and more, they're trying to attach the information that's online to legitimate human beings. Who's putting this crap out there? You know as well as I do that there's a lot of bullshit on the internet. You look up information on any topic and you're going to find some good, valid information. But depending on what your topic is, you're also going to find some crap. But there's a reason that crap's there. And usually it has to do with links. Somebody wants to build links to their website, so they are creating content as an afterthought and getting other websites who treat content as an afterthought to link to their website. How productive could that possibly be in the end? Maybe you think I'm nuts, but maybe some of you are thinking, you know, it's a legitimate question. I believe it is a legitimate question. The problem is it's a question that a lot of people don't want to answer. They're too focused on, I want to get links to my site. Don't fall into that trap. If you want links to your site, you have to give people a legitimate reason to link to your website. And the only legitimate reason you can have for that online is providing them good, valid content. And I hesitate to use the word guest blogging, even though that's what it is, but it's because even that forum is being abused. Imagine yourself as a blog owner or as a website owner, and you have people constantly submitting bullshit content to your website because they want you to publish it. Why do they want you to publish it? Because they want you to link back to their website. How would you feel about that? I want you to think about that every time you're seeking links to your website. Only give content that you can honestly look at and say, I would put this on my website. Hands down, no problem. Because if you can say that, then what you're doing is legitimate. If you can't say that, then you need to look at what you're doing and figure out what it takes to make it legitimate. This past week, Google received 7.8 million link removal requests. Now, what I want you to know about this is I've taken part, and I haven't done this on my own. It's been with other people. But I've taken part in link removal tasks and in submitting these link removal requests to Google, which is no fun, believe me, removing tens of thousands of links from websites. It is insane when you get in. When a website's gone into penalty, they then they realize, oh, wait, we got to fix this. We got to fix all these links we've been getting. It is a nightmare to go in there and realize you have to literally visit thousands of sites to figure out what links are legitimate and which aren't. And to really do it right, you got to do that. Google received all of these link removal requests because over the past decade, but to be conservative here, over the past 5 years, a lot of people have paid websites like Fiverr.com. I mean, there are other websites as well, but I'll say Fiverr because they're the cheapest. You pay a few bucks and you get, you know, a few hundred, a thousand, couple thousand, whatever links to your website, quote unquote, quality links. How quality are they really? And if they were that quality, why are so many websites having them removed now? When you take shortcuts with regard to linking in your SEO marketing plan, you're cutting yourself off at the knees. No way around it. No doubt about it. And this news out of Google in the last week, 7.8 million link removal requests within a week's time. That's a record. And there's a reason for that record. It's because, number one, websites were engaging in link behaviors that they shouldn't have been engaging with to begin with. And two, now that they realize it, either because they've gone into penalty or because they fear penalty, now they're trying to fix it. If you find yourself in this boat, or if you're even remotely concerned about it, address it directly. If you have any doubts about links coming into your websites, if you have any doubts whatsoever, address them immediately. You should be able to know where links are coming from. If they're coming from casino websites and porn sites based out of foreign countries, or hell, based out of America for that matter, how relevant is that to your website, and do you approve? I can't answer that question for you, but I ask you that question because it is totally on you. Strip away all the technology. Strip away all the hype. We all know right from wrong. If you're engaging in link building practices that don't involve providing good, valid content to other websites, you probably need to reassess what you're doing, because that is all feeding in to this incredibly high number of link removal requests. Because the thing to think about here is Google's looking at this and thinking, boy, there are a lot of websites who realize that what they were doing was wrong to begin with. And now they're getting us to remove these links. If you're able to remove these links from your site, consider yourself lucky. We've discussed on previous podcasts the difference between manual spam penalty and algorithmic penalty. Manual spam penalty is more forgiving in that you get a note from Google and they let you know, hey, you're doing this wrong, and this wrong. Fix this and get back with us. Algorithmic penalty, you don't know anything. You only know that you don't rank where you did and what the hell happened. Assess your links. Even if you've not been penalized, it's a good time to assess your links because, you know, go to google.com. It's https://google.com. There's a reason for that. Search is getting more and more secure because all of the free areas of linking and other methods are getting corrupted. And I may sound like a lunatic saying this, but the truth of the matter is, as these areas get corrupted, it gets more and more and more and more difficult to optimize your website and optimize your offsite efforts as well. It gets more and more difficult. It's not going to get any easier. Now, when we come back after this break, we're going to talk with our very own Chris Bradley about email marketing strategies that small businesses can use, even if you don't have a website, but ways that you can communicate with people and use email marketing to your benefit.
Chicks dig dudes with algorithmic integrity, and dudes dig chicks with social semantics, if you get my drift. Can you feel the cyber love? We'll be right back after these messages.
Sometimes cheap is good, but isn't your website too important to trust to some cheap web host? Like a really great cup of fresh coffee, sometimes it's worth paying a few cents more. If you're tired of downtime and slow performance, it's time for a better web host. Fresh Roasted Hosting's accelerated web hosting means your pages load faster and can handle more traffic, while their virtual and dedicated servers mean you've got room to grow. Best of all, every hosting service is backed by 24-hour support and a 99.9% uptime SLA. And thanks to their Tier 2 data centers in Texas and Pennsylvania, Fresh Roasted Hosting delivers a full range of hosting solutions. Accelerated web hosting, domain names, private servers, even co-location services, they've got you covered. Your website is too important to trust to some cheap web host. Upgrade to Fresh Roasted Hosting today and use promo code FRESH2014 to save 10% on any new hosting service. Visit FreshRoastedHosting.com today. Terms and conditions apply. See FreshRoastedHosting.com for complete details.
If you have a question you want answered on a future podcast, visit MindDnD.com/podcast and click on the Podcast Questions Ask Now button. We love your questions. Keep them coming.
Welcome back to the Mind Your Business podcast. We're finishing up a little bit of unfinished business from last week with Chris Bradley handling our question from Jason Hoover. We wanted to talk a little bit about email marketing. Now, you've covered social media here. What about the email marketing side? And admittedly, we're looking at the low cost or no cost things that, a small business person can do to build their business up to where, they could, afford the kind of website that they need. And email marketing is a really touchy area for a lot of people, because it has been abused for so long, and yet it is still valid. Mm-hmm. So how would you recommend that somebody like Jason would use their email marketing in connecting mm-hmm. with customers?
Sure, Mark. That's a great question. And email is still very powerful, especially if you're a local business. Your customers, they want to connect with you, and email is a great way to do that. The first thing I would say is build your list. If you're looking for some ideas to build your list, contact us. I have a list of probably 25 to 30 different things that might be really helpful for you in that area. So building your list is number one. I always say, if somebody has a positive customer experience, let's use a golf course, for instance, they may go home and leave you an online review. And they may go to your website and sign up for your email newsletter. I'm subscribed to several businesses' emails here in Lancaster, and honestly, I open them a lot more than I do the national brands who send me emails. Once you build that list, be sure to give some thought to the message that you send out. Ask yourself, what info would I want to receive? And then kind of go from there. Think about, how can I direct them to my website? I'll use the golf example again. Let's say you have a yearly father-son outing. Send out an email offering a discount code to use when they schedule their tee time on your website. You see what I did there? We sent them the coupon code. That's something that they want. And then we directed them to the website so that they could, book their tee time and also use the coupon code. So we got the message out. We sent them to the website. That's very important. There's a process involved with it. It starts with building your list. It has a lot to do with the message. The design of your email is very important. I would say, in my experience over the years, I've seen both sides of it. I've seen businesses who hired a company to do their email, provide consulting on the message, help them build a list, and more importantly, design the email. And I've seen those who have tried to do it themselves, like Constant Contact and some of these other companies tell you you can do. And honestly, Mark, I've seen they're two different planets. The ones where you do get a little bit of help with the email, it goes along, that goes a long way. The emails that I see that are done on their own with, honestly, business owners, they have a lack of time and resources, so they're kind of just throwing a bunch of stuff in there as quickly as they can. Big difference. So I would say, make sure if you're going to do email, you put a priority on building that list, and also maybe talking to somebody who understands the ins and outs of the email process.
Well, Chris, thank you again for coming on the podcast today and for answering Jason's question. And on behalf of the Minds at Mind, thank you for tuning in to this week's Mind Your Business podcast.
From the Minds at Mind Development and Design, thank you for joining us today. Until next week, make sure you mind your business.